Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, a program dedicated to bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you won't hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as He is commanded in Ephesians 5:11. God states in His Word that He would rise up ministries in the last days to do mighty exploits that would turn many to righteousness. Now here's your host, Good Fight Ministries' own Chad Davidson.
Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And with me as always is President and Founder of Good Fight Ministries and Pastor of Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California, Pastor Joe Schimmel. How are we doing today?
Very good.
Praise the Lord. And of course, always with us as well is the show's producer, Tony Pelosi. How are you doing today?
Fighting the good fight in the strength of the Lord.
Amen, amen. And I know you've been getting over that cold, praise God, so we're getting you a little healthier, just little headaches here and there. I'm sure Joe and I give you those. But anyways, we are so excited, brethren, to be talking about a very important subject. An important subject because we're talking about titles and names that should mean something. We're talking about being the title of and carrying with you the title of a Christian. And the question is, are you a Christian? What does it mean to be a Christian? What does the Bible say? Because ultimately, when we come back to any scenario, any situations, we need to have chapter and verse. That's what we need to have when it comes to what we believe and what we hold to. And so, Joe, with that, I want to talk to you and ask you, what did the early church, what did the biblical church, the people we read about, what did they reference each other as?
Well, I love the term Christian. It's one of my favorite words. That's what God's enemies used of early believers. Although, many say that was just used of... No, Peter uses it too, and he uses it when he talks about... Maybe we can quote some of those references later. I'm sure we will. If any of you suffer as a Christian and so forth. But it was used... It was a name that the pagans used to describe Christians, but it was a name that we were supposed to rejoice in, according to Peter. So it wasn't a name that we were supposed to say, oh, that's really not a name that we should be called. But, you know, the name that Christians were typically called was brethren, you know, Adelphos or saints is probably one of the most prevalent words throughout the New Testament, hagios. And I think, you know, we should get back to using those terms too, because, sometimes I'll say you're either a saint or you're an ain't, you know. I didn't patent that, but I like that saying, and it's a very good one. Because it's not where certain special believers are called saints, as in Roman Catholicism. Roman Catholicism is unbiblical in so many ways. But throughout the New Testament, Paul starts off his letters, even to the Corinthians, who has a lot of problems, addressing them as saints, you know, hagios, holy ones, those who are separate from that which is evil, consecrated to God. And I think if we start using that terminology more, it will help believers identify with who God has called them to be. But I praise the Lord for the name Christian. That's still my favorite term because it's in the term Christian that we identify with Jesus. In the book, I think it's Acts 11, I'm sure it's Acts 11, says they were first called Christians in Antioch, you know?
11:26.
Yeah. And in Antioch, it's kind of interesting they're called that there because that was, you know, the whole world was a stage there, so to speak. And one of the sayings of Antioch was you could see the whole world there. And that's because you can see a lot of different things, but also because you can see people from everywhere. But like a lot of cities today, people were segregated, you know, in certain areas among their people groups, ethnicities, and what and so forth. So to me, it's especially beautiful because Jesus said we'd be known by our love for one another. You know, we carry forth the marks of Christ, which is loving one another, love one another as I've loved you. And guess what? There at Antioch, the Christians, whether they were rich or they're poor, whether they were free or slaves, whatever racial or ethnic background they had, they were gathered together in the name of Christ. They were those who, they were the redeemed. And they were known by, would be known by their love for another, love for Jesus, their love for the lost. And so it's a wonderful thing to be called a Christian in the first century.
You know, it's really interesting you said that because in Acts 11, in that specific time where it says they were first called Christians in Antioch, one of the things you said was they were sharing with people. And that's actually what it says. In verse 20, it says, of chapter 11, book of Acts, it says, but there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who came to Antioch and began speaking to the Greeks, also preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a large number who believed turned to them. And this is the characteristic of those who would be called Christians. And typically, it's three times that it's used. It's Acts 11:26, later in Acts, Paul before Agrippa, mm-hmm. and then also 1 Peter 4:16, which we'll get into that verse a little bit more. And then one time, some people speculate that also in the book of James, when it talks about the holy name, that it's also referring to Christians there. But I think that one of the most interesting things is that the term Christian, like we would use brother, we say it all the time, hey bro, hey brother. And I know for me personally, I try to use that term specifically for my brethren in Christ, because amen. If somebody's a brethren, someone's a brother or sister among in brethren. Christ, I want to make sure like they know that, like that you really are part of my family, because we're blood bought believers. We are a family of the same bloodline, and that bloodline is of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I think that term, like you said, I'd like for it to be more used. You know, same thing with saints. You know, I'd like saints, hey, fellow saints, you know, that's a great thing. It isn't something that the Catholic Church decides because you can do miracles and they have some sort of sainthood. This is who the letters were written to. They're written to churches. They're written to saints. And I think it's really important to use those terms
properly.
Yeah,
the Catholics have misused saints like the gays have misused rainbow. And yeah. I don't want to let anybody steal the rainbow. I don't want them steal what saints is really about, or the word Christian.
Yeah,
or that's a beautiful term.
Or the word Christian. And that's one thing that, in all honesty, has been a very bothersome thing for me, is that somebody would be embarrassed to be called a Christian. That's something that has always kind of stirred me the wrong way as a believer, as someone who was an ain't. I was an ain't, and then I became a saint. And then to be called a Christian, I thought, that is awesome that I get to be a part of this family. So the fact that somebody would amen. Reject that is very troublesome to me in any regard, okay? And I don't care what walk of life. And this is something that has become so common, especially in the Christian music scene. You know, we wrote an entire article against it. And I'll say we probably sadly blocked a lot of people on our Facebook page because of the way they acted in response to this. Because we just said, hey, if you're a Christian artist, you should want to own that. You should be so blessed that somebody would see your conduct, recognize, wait a second, that person follows Christ, because you should belong to Christ if you're a Christian. It should be something that you wear with honor. And when we see it used, it's of the outside world pointing to them. And you think about punk music.
Identifying us with Christ. Mm-hmm. Christian, yeah.
Amen. Christian. People literally... Punk rockers took the name punk rock by being called punks, okay? Mm-hmm. And they wear it as a symbol, and they're like, I'm a punk rocker, how awesome is this? And for nonsense, for honestly mostly disgusting music, okay? And they will wear that as a badge of honor, but Christians will be the cowards. I'm sorry, that's cowardly to me, to read 1 Peter 4:16, to read him say, if you are to suffer as a Christian, then what should you do? You should not want to be called a Christian? No, that's not what he says. You should glorify God, what? Glorify God some other way? In that name, if you suffer as a Christian.
Everything we put our hands to do, right? We're supposed to do it in glorifying our Father in heaven. It's not just the Christian artist. It's
no.
If you're a Christian doing anything, you should want to glorify God with anything that you do.
Absolutely. I mean, if you're ashamed of the name of Jesus, I mean, Jesus warned about being ashamed of him. You know, he said, if I come and, you know, and... those who are ashamed of me, he says, I'll come back in my Father's glory with the holy angels, and I'll be ashamed of you, you know? And 1 John talks about being ready and right when he comes. In 1 John, the end of chapter 2, and then in chapter 3, he talks about how so we won't shrink back with shame at his coming. And Paul said, you know, I'm not ashamed. I love that. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Right? He told Timothy not to be ashamed. He said, I'm not ashamed. And why would you be ashamed of Jesus or his gospel? I mean, the gospel is foolishness to those that are of the world, it says, of course. You know, and Paul even uses the word that we get the word moron from. It's what they think of believers, you know. But the scriptures use the word fool of the non-believer over and over again. We're fools for Jesus in a good way, you know. But Paul says, you know, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Greek. I mean, why would you be ashamed of the very one who saved you? Mm-hmm. His gospel, which is the power of God, most powerful thing in the universe, is his gospel. Most powerful person is the Lord God himself. We should be excited about him, proud of him. Now, there is the spirit of Antichrist that permeates the world. You know, people use his name in vain. If you use his name in vain, you're cool. if you start talking about Jesus, you know, you're somehow a freak. That shows you how upside down this world is and who's the prince and power of the air here, you know? I remember when my wife, you know, I don't know if she had it before we were believed or before she was, before we were married or not, but she has a shirt, had a shirt, I think, before she was, we were married, and I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you know? Roman, and it was blazoned across her. And she wore that everywhere for years. You know, she just loved that shirt. That's one thing I loved about her. You know, I knew when I found my wife, I always make sure I found a Jesus lover that just loved the Lord. You know her, she's not ashamed at all of the gospel. And she just wore that thing out, man. Literally, she wore it outside. Then she wore it out. And just, I don't even know where it's at. It's probably got holes in it by now. But I think for 10, 15 years, she was wearing that thing. And I just, you know, there's something beautiful about believers that are bold and that stand up for their faith that just gets you excited about the faith more as well. And your heart breaks, you know. We did a show just, a couple podcasts ago on the, you know, Jaylene, you know, Hinckley, who stood up for her faith and wasn't ashamed of the gospel and got cut from the, what could have been the national Olympic team for her, you know, the national team, because she wouldn't wear the gay colors. And we talked about how beautiful that was, that she took a stand. So, you know, and I think it's interesting because by when Jesus said, you'll be persecuted and hated by all nations because of my name, Matthew chapter 24, some say, it's the end times. Yeah, that's not about the end times there. Matthew 10, though, he says the same thing. You know, mm-hmm. You're persecuted by all because of my name. He's talking about the, you know, just going out and witnessing and shining the light. That's part of our lot as Christians, and we should be excited about it. I remember in Acts 5, around 40, 41, right about there, the disciples get flogged, you know? They get whipped. And by the way, when you got whipped in those days, it wasn't, you know, a light thing. It was a deep, powerful beating. We could describe that someday. And it says afterwards, it didn't say they were upset, saying, it doesn't say they were upset, saying, how could Jesus let us go through this? It says they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer for his name. Amen. You know, they're suffering for his name, the name of Jesus. And they went right back and started preaching again. It says they went and spread the gospel everywhere, you know. Just like Acts 4, they went right back into the town after they were warned not to, you know. But listen to what Peter says. Chad, you quoted this verse, and you emphasized that second part of it, which I think was awesome. I'm going to emphasize a little first part. It says, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. So it's, some say, well, that was the detractors, the enemies use it. That's not a name we're to be using. Wait a minute. The early Christians didn't use that name. Are you kidding me? Right here, he brings it up to say you should be happy to be called a Christian, you know, and not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. So, Chad, when you bring up, you know, some of these artists, you know, that they don't want to be called Christians and we don't want to really be known as a Christian band, that's, I feel bad for them, man. It's like,
I'm a Christian and an artist, not a Christian artist. And I always think about that. I remember I worked at Lowe's for a number of years, and I remember he's actually the pastor of Blessed Hope Ensenada. He would come in for work all the time, and he was going through a line, and he's like, hey, do you know if Chad's working? And there was two Chads. There was me and another one. And the lady working there was like, is it the tall Chad or the Christian preacher Chad? And he's like, oh, it's the Christian preacher. And I didn't know that that had happened until I got a text message. It's like, hey, bro, you're doing a good job because, you know, you're sharing the gospel in there. I was like, praise God, you know, because that's a fact. You know, I was like, I'm going to go in there and this is going to be ministry. I don't care what I do. My life's going to be ministry.
Amen.
And if I was ashamed in any regard, because I coached wrestling for half a decade as a head coach, 6 years before that as an assistant coach. And everyone knew me as the Christian coach, the guy who would go out and share the gospel for a reason. And I would never have been like, I'm a coach and I'm a Christian. Right. I'm not a Christian coach, and I think I don't care if I was a plumber.
Right.
And watch, down the street, I've seen it multiple times. Window guys, plumber guys, what do? They put Christian symbols on there to say, hey, I identify with Jesus, and guess what? For me, I want to bless the whole world, but I definitely want to bless those who are in the household of God. So when I see that, I say, oh, I'm going to recognize that person's a Christian, you know, window guy. That guy's, I don't care what he's doing. I want to make sure, hey, I support him, one. But two, that he would never be ashamed of that, that it's something that we should wear. And also, it should bring accountability to our life. If you're going to claim to be a Christian, you better be accountable to his word and be a good example.
Yeah, amen. And that's when we walk in the Lord, that helps us to bear his name better. Being consistent, you know, praying, all those things help us have boldness. Like in Acts chapter 4, you know, the apostles pray that God would stretch forth his hand and do these mighty miracles and that his word would spread. And that they would have boldness. They prayed for boldness there. And then you go and read through the book of Acts, man, and over again. You know, I just did a study recently, more just my an old personal study. I'll probably break some of it out sometime down the line, but it's just chasing that term boldness throughout the book of Acts and elsewhere. Paul prayed in Ephesians chapter 6, that he would have boldness to preach the gospel, you know?
Stephen.
He's
Stephen
in prison. Was bold. Stephen was bold, yeah. You read that through the book of Acts, different. And, you know, but interesting, Paul praying for boldness? You just think he's automatically bold. But you know what? Paul knew that he needed to pray, you know? Some had said he was, you know, waiting his letters, but weak in his speech. So he relied on the Lord. He cried out to the Lord and prayed for boldness. And he was very bold, you know? It would be hard to imagine standing in his shadow as far as how bold this guy was. And everywhere, you know, stoned practically to death and shipwrecked. And just, I look at him and go, that was the key, man. He was praying. There he is in prison, you know? He sent out letters that could have him killed, you know? And the Apostle Peter, these guys were praying to be bold, as I mentioned earlier in Acts 4. So I think as we pray, because some may be listening to me like, man, I need to be more courageous. We want to make sure we're not cowardly. Because in Revelation 21, verse 8, when it gives the vices of those who are going to the lake of fire, it says, but for the cowardly, that's the first group on the list. And then the next word's unbelieving. And then there's abominable murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, liars, idolaters, and so forth. And I'm not covering everything there, but just about. It's interesting. The first thing that heads up that vice list is the cowardly. And as A.T. Robertson, I remember this from being a young pastor years and years ago, reading through his word pictures in the Greek, and he states that this was an old word, you know, used for those who would renounce their faith, you know. And I've done word studies on that since. And the cowardly are the head of that list. That's Revelation. That's end times. That's persecution. And so if we're having a hard time bearing his name now, just because of how it might make you look, what are you going to do when the chariots and the horsemen come? Jeremiah talked about, remember Jeremiah? He talks about how if you can't survive now with, you know, fighting with the footmen, what are you doing in the thickest of Jordan, you know, when the chariots are there, you know? So we need to pray up, man. We say, Lord, help us be bolder for the faith. Help us to share our faith. Help us not to shrink back. Paul told Timothy that God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. So it's important that we rely on the power of the Holy Spirit.
I think it's interesting you use Paul, because one of the three times, we already mentioned the first two. We even mentioned maybe James. We don't know for certain. But the other time it's used is in Acts 26:28. And it's not by Paul. It's by someone else. Yeah, it's by King Agrippa. Yeah. Right? So Paul's praying for boldness. And guess what? He gets a radical stage. And what does Agrippa say? He says, quote, in a short time, you will persuade me to become a Christian? And then Paul replies, of course, I would never want you to call yourself a Christian. You're a king and a Christian if you get saved. No, that's not what he said. Right. He said, I would wish to God that whether in a short or a long time, not only you, but also all who hear me this day might become such as I am. What was Paul saying he was? A Christian. The same.
Except for.
except for these chains, right? Yeah. So I love that, because he also prays for his well-being, right? Yeah. That he would come to Christ and not have to be in prison.
Yeah, I love
like
you.
He
I just want to see you saved. Be a Christian. Amen.
And he doesn't care when it happened. I love that too. Mm-hmm. I mean, Acts, we could go on about Acts. I mean, we could probably spend the rest of our lifetime doing podcast shows on an exegetical teaching on the book of Acts, because I think there's so much. It's so beautiful. I remember reading in a Bible commentary where it said that the book of Acts, you know, and some of the early church used to call it the gospel of the Holy Spirit, you know, because you really see the movement of the Holy Spirit in such a radical way. And what does the movement of the Holy Spirit do? Make you not recant for your Christianity, make you not recant for saying that I walk with Christ, I identify as a Christian, and make you not recant the fact that you want other people to walk as Christian and be as you without the chains.
And they always had a label, even earlier in Acts, so they were called the people of the way.
The people of the way,
yeah. So they always had a label that they identified with, that they were proud of. It was like a badge of honor.
Yeah, I remember when I was a new Christian singing, they will know we are Christians by our love. And I counted it an honor to bear that name, you know. And so it's such a beautiful song, you know. It's interesting because you're bringing up Paul here. And according to church history and church tradition, Paul lost his head under Nero, you know, in the first wave. There was persecution before Nero, but there were waves of persecution upon the Christian church. And the Apostle Paul suffered as a Christian. He went before Agrippa, as you mentioned. He faced a bunch of leaders. But Nero, as many of people in our audience know, he was out of his mind, you know. And I mean, we won't go into everything he was about, but he was pretty wicked. But it's interesting, I was studying the waves of persecution recently in the early church period, and then first two centuries of church history, and there were several waves of persecution by local principalities in the Roman Empire, sometimes systematically by the Roman Empire itself. But the first persecution that was quite big by Roman Emperor was by Nero. And why did he persecute them? And it's interesting, I have here the historian Tacitus. And I think this is interesting because Tacitus is a Roman historian who is anti-Christ, doesn't follow the Christians. He was an eyewitness to the fires in Rome. In 64, Rome burned down. And I think it was like 6 days or so that Rome burned. And many were blaming Nero, you know, and upset with Nero, the emperor, you know. So guess what Nero does? He turns around and blames it on the Christians. And we know this because it's just in Christian history. Tacitus, the Roman historian, and listen to what he says. Tacitus, the Roman historian who was an eyewitness of this, he was young when it happened, but he writes about it. Therefore, to stop the rumor, he's talking about that Rome had been put to fire, that Rome was on fire by the Roman Emperor Nero. He said, to stop the rumor, falsely charged with guilt, and punished with the most fearful tortures. So he falsely charged with guilt and punished with the most fearsome tortures. Who? The persons commonly called Christians. So they were being called Christians commonly. You know, I think that's just interesting. Who were generally hated for their enormities. Christus, the founder of that name, I just think that's great, was put to death as a criminal, not that part, but for our sins, thank him for that, as a criminal by Pontius Pilate, procurator of Judea in the reign of Tiberius. Then he goes on to write, but the pernicious superstition repressed for a time, talking about Christianity, broke out yet again, not only through Judea, well, Jesus said it would, keep breaking out, where the mischief originated, but through the city of Rome also. He says, whether all things horrible and disgraceful flow from all quarters to a common receptacle, and where they are encouraged, and he goes on to talk about, you know, accordingly, first those who were arrested who confessed they were Christians, so they were confessing, yes, I'm a Christian, they weren't ashamed of it. Next, on their information, a vast multitude were convicted, not so much on the charge of burning the city. This is interesting. They weren't convicted because of burning the city, because people knew that was a joke, lie, but as of hating the human race. Sound familiar?
Wow.
That's crazy. And this is what he goes on to write about how they were being put to death. In their very deaths, they were made subjects of sport, for they were covered with the hides of wild beasts, made like animals, right? And devoured to death by dogs, or nailed to crosses, or set to fire. And when the day waned, burned to serve for the evening lights, so they were made lamps at night, Nero offered his own garden players for the spectacle. So, I mean, Nero was lighting up the Christians, and they were, and these were guys who were saying, yeah, I'm a Christian. They weren't denying his name.
Light me up. So you're saying you wouldn't deny Christ just because you were going to lose a couple of fans? You know, yeah. I mean, honestly, like I was reading. This is a quote from Lauren Daigle.
Back to the U.S. soccer team, right?
You know, this is a quote from Lauren Daigle. I'm going to read, and it's in our article on Good Fight Ministries called "Christian Artists: Why Labels Matter." And I believe it's really important, guys, because I think we do need to pay attention. And we didn't even mention her in that episode, but we just did an episode about Christian music, secular music, and Christian music, two separate episodes. And if you haven't listened to it, I'd say go back and listen to it. It's really, really important. People have been writing us and telling us it's meant a lot to them, and it was really important for them as well. But one of the things that Lauren Daigle had happened with her was she came out and she was on a podcast show and asked about the sin of homosexuality, and instead of being like the young soccer player we were just mentioning in this episode and the previous episode, no, she was said, oh, I don't know. I haven't read anything yet. I don't understand. Like, I've just been a Christian for 16, 17 years of my life, but I just never happened to read Romans. I never happened to read 1 Corinthians. Never happened to read Leviticus, you know, and all these different things. So it was heartbreaking. And then what followed that? Oh, this is what followed that. Said Lauren Daigle, she actually said she didn't want to be referred to as a Christian. She said, quote, I feel like those labels get put on you by other people. I was reading articles. I read them here and there.
How sad is that?
And one of them said Christian artists. And the other ones just said artists. But I think part of me part of me is just an artist because it encompasses everything. That's kind of how I see myself.
Making it more about herself than Christ.
But could you imagine that? What if I asked you that? Do you consider yourself more of a pastor or a Christian?
Oh, you know what? I kind of identify more with just being a pastor because it's more about me and all that I do. No, God forbid, man. You know, I'm a Christian before I'm a pastor. I'm a pastor second to be a Christian because my ultimate devotion is, thus saith the Lord, whatever you say, Lord, whatever you want me to be a plumber for you, you want me to flip burgers at a restaurant for you, whatever you want from me, whatever you want me to do, I want to do for your glory, and I want to do it as a Christian man.
How do you not just see the world through the lenses of Scripture? If you're seeing the world through the lens of Scripture, one...
And she's not even facing fire, you know? I mean, God help her to bow
down.
This
is right after being on Ellen, by the way,
if
sadly, I didn't point that out.
Help her to bow to Jesus and be faithful to him and renounce any kind of compromise she's been in, and we should be aware of what's going on. But the persecution after that was under Domitian. And Domitian exiled John to Patmos in 1 John, Revelation 1:9. You know, John talks about how he was on the Isle of Patmos because of the Word of God. And according to Polycarp, his disciple, through Irenaeus, Polycarp's disciple, it was because of the persecutions during the time of Domitian. And he was emperor from 81 to 96. And it's interesting, during that time, which was where Revelation was written, Jesus writes to, in Revelation 2:13, I know where you dwell, talking to one of the churches there. And he says, where Satan's throne is, and that you hold fast my name. You hold fast my name. And did not deny my faith, even in the days of Antipas, my witness, my faithful one, who was killed among you where Satan dwells. So we get the persecution because of the name of Christ. And now he wasn't having to lose some of his, you know, maybe lose some fans because he identified as a Christian. He was going to face death, Antipas, but he held fast to his name. You know, and that's, we live in dark days right now because people got to be very discerning regarding a lot of popular artists. The enemy's not just working in secular music. We got to be very careful. Look at the lifestyles and the stances that people take and so forth. At the same time, sometimes people are just weak and we got to pray for them to be strengthened. So I try to give the benefit of the doubt,
amen.
But I also become weary and I'm very watchful. One more emperor, Trajan. Trajan was the emperor from 98 to 117. Look how many persecutions happened just within the first 100 years of, you know, and there's far more local type persecutions. These are the emperors of the Roman Empire, but Pliny the Younger, you know, he writes to Trajan talking about how the Christians, that they're in the habit of meeting on a certain fixed day before it was light, when they sang alternate verses, a hymn to Christ as to God. Jehovah's Witnesses need to hear that, and Mormons as well.
Amen.
But it's interesting, he talks about, and I counted 7 times he uses the term Christian, Pliny the Younger, when he's complaining to Trajan, the emperor. He says, Meanwhile, in the case of those who were denounced to me as Christians, I have observed the following procedure. I interrogated these as to whether they were Christians. Those who confessed, I interrogated a second and third time, threatening them with punishment. Those who persisted, I ordered executed. For I had no doubt that whatever their nature of their creed, stubbornness and inflexible obstinacy, surely they deserve to be punished. He talked about how he'd make them curse Christ or face death, you know. And praise God, I mean, sadly some committed apostasy, but there were those who went to their deaths because of his name. God give us strength, amen, and resolve in our hearts to no matter what the price, whether it even costs our blood, to not renounce the name of Jesus. And that'll best take place if we rely on Jesus, if we love him, if we're not like Peter saying, hey, I'm ready to go right now to prison death. Because if you just think you can do it, you're in trouble. But Jesus said, pray that you don't enter temptation. If we cry out to the Lord, and then Peter learned his lesson, and he said in 1 Peter chapter 4 that the Spirit of grace, God's Spirit of grace, rest upon those of us who are being persecuted. So we need to rely upon him. We need to pray for boldness. We need to be strengthened by the Spirit so we don't deny his name. And you know what? Let's examine our lives and say, Lord, and make that a prayer of our life. Lord, help me to lift up your name. And forgive me for the times I haven't.
Mm-hmm. And be encouraged by these testimonies of these early believers. It's absolutely amazing to hear those stories and recognize that they were obedient to 1 Peter 4:16. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, he is not to be ashamed, but is to glorify God in this name.
Amen.
I pray in Jesus' name that you'll be doing that throughout your days, throughout your years, throughout your months, throughout everything in your life, that you would glorify God in being worthy, considered worthy, to be called a Christian.
Amen. We love you guys. Amen. Press on in Jesus.
You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show, brought to you by Good Fight Ministries. To learn more about the ministry, please visit us at goodfight.org, where we feature articles, videos, and life-changing resources on DVD and CD. If you're blessed by this show and would like to partner with us in continuing to deliver powerful biblical content, won't you consider visiting our support page at goodfight.org? Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062, or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We thank you so much for joining us today, and we hope you'll tune in next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.